testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
About the promises of God today. To exhort you, this is an exhortation today to remind us of these promises, that the enemy tries to get our minds and attentions away from, and he can be very subtle how he can do this. And I'm calling our teaching today, "The Promises of God Cleanse Us." The promises of God cleanse us. Let's turn to something we know very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. And here the apostle says to the Corinthian church, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord."
Amen.
The apostle, particularly in the second book of the epistle, is very much defending his ministry. He is reminding them of what they have received and how he's encouraged them, how he has stuck with them, even though we know he told them that they were still childlike. They had need of growing up. There were still divisions, arguments, conflicts. Sounds quite familiar, doesn't it? But he says, come on, grow up. Move from these things. Because it just causes strife. And the enemy uses it and he tries to hold you back. And that's been the enemy's tactics over the Christian church, well, right from the time the church was birthed at Pentecost. He's always tried that one. But the overcomers don't fall for that, because they see sonship. And we are pressing in for that, as the bride's making herself ready. And I'm stating this because this is the key, the clue, if you like, as to how we mature and grow. And this is why we make so much about the promises of God. The promises of God are not just promises encouraging our faith to believe. They are a lot more than that. And he gives the clue here. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So we see then that the promises of God are not only promises to us in this life, but in nature the promises cleanse us.
Amen.
It means that we are being cleansed from defilement. We are being cleansed from any spot, blemish, that will be found on our garments. Because our garments are to be pure and white and spotless. So the very nature of these garments, any blemish will be clearly seen. That is why we still have this idea or this tradition of a marriage, a bride wearing white. Although we have quite a lot of various shades of white today, including ivory and all that sort of thing. But if you take that over into the spiritual, there's a whiteness in God's presence that is acceptable. And he says that the overcomers have those garments. Now, thank God in this life, while we're still overcoming and walking by faith, thank God that these garments are white, so that you can see. Because any spot, any small thing will be seen. I laugh a bit at this because on Thursday I had some of my students, they came to my house to have a class. And I put out on the table a white cloth, although it's got marks on it. You know, we use it to protect the table. And I've got a new student who's started to come. And when she came into the room, she said, "Oh, well, I'll sit over there because the light's good." But I noticed she couldn't settle there. She wasn't happy there. And of course, I'm busy out in the kitchen getting coffees, you see. And so somebody said to me, I got other tables as well, which weren't covered. They were black, not black tops. Oh, she's moved over there because she doesn't feel comfortable on the white tablecloth in case she makes any marks, you see. I said, well, there are already marks on it. No, she's not happy. She can't rest as an artist. And I could see why, you see, because she was aware that she would make marks and defile it and make it worse. And there were marks on it already, which I tried to point out. But I use that as a point. She's happier on the black top than on the white. Now let's take that over to the spiritual. That is why the world is happier walking in the dark, darkness. They run away from exposure. But you see, God doesn't let us run away from exposure. He has got us gripped in his arms. And he knows how to expose. He knows how to keep us in the light. And we find that the love of God We want actually more and more of that light. We actually begin to appreciate it, the nature of God's light, and how it enables us to be able to see and discern and test and so on. And that is really what the apostle is saying here. He's saying that these promises that he's giving out by the Spirit, he says, in nature, they cleanse us from all filthiness. Now, that is the side of salvation where we are being saved. We are saved by faith, and thank God that we are, because you have to be a new creation. But Jesus prayed for us that we would not be taken out of the world, but that we would remain in the world, Romans 17, his priestly prayer, for a reason, so that we can be cleansed, so that we can mature and grow as sons. If God took us at the point of redemption, salvation, we would not mature into sonship. The bride would not be making herself ready. Now we could raise the question, well, it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? I wish we could all just confess the Lord as our Saviour and the next thing we're translated. It would be wonderful, and it would certainly make a ministry like I've got far easier. But that is not how God has ordained it. He has ordained that we still live in this life and we overcome and we reach a maturity of perfection that he sees right and fit in his eyes. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We know this is not sinless perfection, but it is a perfection of consecration, of faith, of love, commitment, and all the attributes that we preach and teach about. It comes to fruition. It's come, it's ripe, it's ready. This is why we're grafted into the vine. And the vine produces its fruit. Now, it's interesting with a vine, because years back when I was younger, we used to have a vine in our greenhouse. And one of the things, and it was a beautiful red grape, beautiful big red grapes from it. It was a lovely vine, it really was. And it used to fascinate me. But you know, through its season and its growth, the grapes would be there, but they still were not ready. They looked as though they were, but they weren't. They had to ripen. They had to sweeten off. And occasionally I would taste one and put it to my mouth, but it was still bitter. It was not sweet. It had to come to that place when it was ready to be harvested. And one of the things you do with a vine towards the autumn, you begin to move the leaves, because the vine makes a lot of leaves. And the clusters of grapes grow under those leaves. But in order for them to really mature, you have to start to snip away the leaves so that the autumn sun starts to ripen, to bring out that sweetness. And then they're ready to harvest. And that is exactly what the Lord is doing with the harvest. He is the husbandry, and he is going to harvest that harvest. And he knows exactly the right time to bring in the first fruits of the harvest. And you and I and the overcomers are the first fruits of the harvest. And that will be a sign of what is to follow. Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful how God has this under control? That is why you are left in this world to spiritually ripen. That's why. So that he can reap this harvest at the end time. And you are in the process of ripening. And you are ripening because of the Son of Righteousness who has risen and shines upon your life and my life. Isn't it wonderful? That is how he's doing it. And he's doing it through the cleansing of these promises. Getting rid of all filthiness. It means a defilement still. It still means a blotch on our garments. And we know at times there's that blotch can be there. And that is why he grants in his mercy repentance. It's filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So he's dealing with the whole man, mind, body, spirit. And it means the spirit as well. That's interesting, but that's the same word spirit that the apostle addressed to the Galatian church. He said, have you not begun in the spirit and are now perfected in the flesh? They had become defiled. They had not watched over their garments. They had become legalistic, religious. There's the same analogy, the same warning that God gave to that church that is always a warning to us today. It's the same type of understanding. And so it's a perfecting of holiness in the fear of God. And here is that perfection. Be perfect as I am perfect. That degree of perfection. So perfection means holiness in the fear of God. And the saints have to have the fear of God for perfection to be worked. It is a fear, it is an understanding that I can do whatever I want in this life. I can choose whatever style I want to live, whatever lifestyle, however I want to live. But the point is, when I take my last breath, God has the final say over me. I don't. There's the idea of the fear of God. Wish to God more had this. I will choose and do what I want. Well, you can. It's simply choosing which way to sin. Mm-hmm. But we're all going to take our last breath. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And we are completely subject, dependent then on the grace and mercy of God. That is the beginning or the idea of the fear of God. He has the final say over me. I don't. Not even the enemy, you see. Jesus. And so that is why we embrace these promises in order that they clean and they deliver us. You see, we have to remember that this isn't achieved just overnight. It's a lifetime. It's a walk. Yeah. It's a daily walk. We are walking into these promises. And some of you I know are holding these promises in your heart and have been for many years. God hasn't forgotten that. He hasn't forsaken that. It just seems sometimes in our flesh, well, these promises are all gone, they're all forgotten, you know, they don't count anymore. Oh no, they don't. They're still valid, they're still precious in God's sight. And don't saints give up on them. All the while we still have breath in our lungs, we still confess them, that they are ours, a blessing, a gift given to us from Almighty God. That is why the blessings of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We don't give up on our faith, and our faith at times is stretched to the limit. It looks as though it's past. Mm. It's gone. It's finished. It's no good. Mm. It's all forgotten about. It isn't with God.
Yeah.
I've had some tests this week with regard to my faith. And I heard come out of my mouth, yes, it might be. Yes, those giants are big. But we are well able to take the giants of the land. I don't know how. I haven't got a clue. That's not my problem. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And I settle it there. And carried on. Settle it there. You have to settle it sometimes. Because the devil's coming defiant. He's coming to try and snatch your faith away. To get a seed of unbelief in there. And you know it. You know it. And we all go through it. I thought, no. No. Yes, weak in the flesh. Yes, a hammering. Yes, everything negative thrown at you. But I am learning what these promises are about. Hallelujah. And I know that this is not achieved overnight. This is why our faith is so valuable in the sight of God, so precious. But you know, it's a great help to hold on to these promises, because these promises inspire your confession. These promises are our deliverance. Mm. These promises are being rooted within our heart. Mm. Whatever is being thrown at us, I have read, I have embraced, I have claimed, I hold on to these promises, which are yes and amen, amen. In Christ Jesus, because God has made these promises to me. And I ain't about to let them go. Whatever the circumstances. Because it's my deliverance. It's our deliverance. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that these promises are bigger than just you? These promises embrace your family, your friends, this world, government, everything, these things that we pray for. That's why I keep saying over and over again, the picture is so much bigger than just ourselves. This picture is so much bigger than FGA. It's embracing the world. It's embracing eternity. It's what pertains to the kingdom of God. These promises. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So the very fact that we have this hope within us, this calling upon our lives, it purifies us so that we will be able to see Jesus on that day when he calls us up. That is why I have always said, and I'll continue to say it, that the deeper life teaching in nature is deliverance. You can never be the same. And to be delivered, you have to abide in him. 1 John 2. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. I love what it says in verse 28. You know, you can miss this, but it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may, it says, and he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Why is that word ashamed there? Well, we could be ashamed of what we're doing, which isn't the will of God.
Mm.
Or it is also, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. I am not ashamed to be his.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to be part of this peculiar treasure. Even though the world thinks me odd, different, they laugh, they ridicule. You are silly walking this walk of faith. It's medieval. It's a thing of the past. The Bible is not conducive to this modern 21st century that you live in. That's what they say. You hold on to these old historical things that are archaic, out of fashion. That's why they laugh and jeer at us, you see. But we're not ashamed, because we know that it's the power of the gospel unto salvation. You see, that's what he's looking for, who hold on to it, who don't deviate in these last days. What does it say in 1 John 4 and verse 17? 1 John 4 and verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. So he's perfecting through love so that we have this boldness in these last days as judgment is coming. So that is what he does. The love of God perfecting us creates a boldness. And the overcomers have that boldness. And the demons tremble and fear and know. You know, these promises, I believe, are ultimately that God keeps a remnant unspotted from this world. And that is what these promises do and will do. And that is why we make so much of the promises of God. Because they are saving us. They are keeping us unspotted from this world. Now don't try and work it out. Don't try and analyse. Don't try and look at the week you've just had where you've fallen flat on your face, whatever it is. You know what to do. If you fall off a horse, you get back straight on it. You know that. I know that. We know that. Because that's the love and mercy of God. We're talking overall in this with regard to the promises. Let's look at Psalm 121. Psalm 120. Right, no wonder it doesn't make any sense. Right, here we go. 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. There you go. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. What a promise. There's the promises of God. And on a result, if you believe in that, then God says, I will purify you in order that you believe that. He will do the work.
Thank you, Lord.
He's promised. So you see, these promises are not all about just naming it and claiming it. These promises are all about also getting us ready, getting us right, holy lives present for the Lord. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Thank God that he does that. Because the enemy's out to destroy us. If the enemy was let loose, most of us would probably be killed on the road by someone. You know that?
Yeah.
I'm going to just put it bluntly. You know, there's a lot of demons in people driving cars.
Yes, there is.
And they'll be out to destroy. But God says he preserves our going out and our coming in. And he says, I'll do it from this time forth and I'll do it forevermore. So you've not only got a preservation when you drive, when whatever you do, or if you fly or get on your bike or whatever it would be, but that preservation is eternally over us forever. And that is why the enemy hates the man-child, the overcomers. And he's right there to try and destroy the man-child that is in the womb of the woman, the church. And he can't touch the man-child because it's right there, preserved forevermore. Kept, preserved. And thank God for that. And that's why it takes God's preservation to seal, to preserve us, to deliver us, to heal us, to change us. We're preserved so that we can be here today.
Amen.
We wouldn't be here today otherwise. The enemy would have stopped these meetings years ago. We're here today because of preservation. My brothers and sisters who are online today in the room are here today because they're preserved by God for it. It's quite clear. It's not rocket science, this, you know. Sometimes these miracles are staring us right in the face. We're looking in the wrong directions at times. And that's why so often it seems we're brought to the end of ourselves in order for deliverance. And even in deliverance, and even when we're brought to the end of ourselves, you've still got preservation on you. You're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be damned. It only appears for a season as though everything is collapsing around you. Everything looks so negative. But God has preserved us. And it's those very conditions that are raising and maturing the sons of God in these last days. Because you know as well as I do, a lot of our brothers and sisters, at the first trials that come, they run away. They think that the grass is greener on the other side. And it's deception. They're in denial. You were in denial. I was in denial until God stopped me in our tracks. We honestly thought it was going to be different. Or we could close the door on it and say, you know, bye-bye, I'm off, I'm going to the land of promise. Or I'm going away on holiday. You know? It doesn't. And this is what goes on. It goes on in households. It goes on in families. It goes on between husband and wife. And you name it. I had enough. I'm off. You know. As if it's all going to be different. If it's so, it's all going to change. And this is why they go to drugs. Alcohol. Give me a break. And we all like a break, don't get me wrong. But God preserves and keeps us in it. And you know, often, after a while, when you're right in the midst of it, and the fire is raging around you, and it seems as though everyone's forsaken you, you actually find it's not as bad as the enemy tries to tell you it is.
Yeah.
You are so conscious God has got you firmly gripped in his hands. And you become aware of that. And it is such a blessing Flesh and blood can't give you that. You are aware God preserves and keeps you. Now, these are all experiences that we should be experiencing. And this is, of course, what makes our whole walk so supernatural. Because we know it cannot happen, naturally speaking. So, they are the promises of God. And I trust that, you know, as we've just exhorted today and looked at some of the scriptures with regard to these, that they encourage you not to give them up, to hold on in there. That God has not forgotten. He has heard your cries. He hears our prayers. He hears those knocks. He is going to get up. He is going to answer. Because it's always about his glory. It's about the fact that he is faithful. He has made those promises. And he isn't going to break them.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will answer. But never, ever look to the circumstances. Because all the promises that you have embraced, you are holding on to, you are confessing, you are believing, look absolutely hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. They are the conditions how God is perfecting us. And don't make the mistake that Israel made, where she rebelled every time against those conditions. She rebelled against the wilderness, failing to see that there was a bigger picture God was trying to show her. He'll do it. It's his work. He's made no mistake. Let him do it. And as we're so often told, just let go and just keep your eyes upon him and him alone.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you first loved us, that you chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world.
Jesus.
We are never going to understand this walk if we try to analyse it in the intellect, the mere intellect. It has to be divinely shown.
Jesus.
And much of what is divinely shown means that we have to go through certain trials and tribulations in order to understand spiritually speaking. Father, we thank you for these promises because you have made them promises. And these promises are valid because they are sealed and signed by the blood of the Lamb. These promises are true and valid because it cost you your life. You gave your life up as a ransom and stood in our behalf. And you paid the cost, you paid the penalty, Jesus. You paid the price that we never, ever could pay. And so we know that these promises are true. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
Praise
and Father, we thank you that we will see in our flesh these promises fulfilled. We will see in our flesh that you are faithful. We will see in our flesh the enemy put to flight. Because it's part of our overcoming. It is part of the bride making herself ready. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for your love and care and parental care over my brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
I thank you, Father, that you preserve and keep them. You are with them when they go out and when they come in. You are with them, Father, when the enemy comes with his lies and deceptions. You are with them, Father, when they battle physical trials and overcome. You are with them, Lord, when they read the Word of God. You are with them, Father, when they pray and they intercede and are led by the Holy Spirit. Because you have said nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled. Salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he on you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked